asks you, what does that sign mean? And you're supposed to be able to distinguish what the words on that symbol means without having the words there. Our problem here today is that we cannot see the world the way the world sees. At least we shouldn't. But our physical eyes work, but our spiritual eyes do not. They're underdeveloped because of neglect. The Bible says we must walk by faith and not by sight, but most of us walk by sight and not by faith. So I'm going to ask you this morning, when you woke up this morning, what was you worried about? What was the first thing that weighed on your mind? Whatever it was this morning, you need to put a place mark right there. Because at that place mark, at that spot, that's where you woke up and you stopped trusting God. Because you started seeing something with your natural eyes instead of your spiritual ones. When you worry about something, it allows you to put stress on your emotions and your physical bodies. You're walking by sight. And I want you to know something. When I say you put stress on your physical bodies, our physical bodies are weak. So when you go in the beginning of this chapter, when Paul was writing, he was talking about our earthly vessels, how weak they are. But that one day we would have a body built not by hands, but by God. So in our physical bodies, our eyes are part of our weakness. And we must learn to build them up spiritually. Amen? Paul lets us know that when we get sick and when we go through things, our bodies groan. With all the troubles, all the situations, and the distresses, we groan. Sometimes I will go through something, I say, the first thing my wife will say is, what's wrong with you? Have you gone through that? Something's on your mind and you make a noise and somebody says, well, what's wrong with you? What's going on? Is there something bothering you? Are you feeling a pain somewhere? But Paul is saying, we all have physical problems. We all face problems in our relationships. We face problems at work. We face so many things that sometimes, if you're really human, and I think we all are, sometimes we get to the point that we just want to walk away. We believe that it's easier to walk away than to deal with it. But to walk by faith and not by sight is one of the great and most difficult things that we have to do in our lives as Christians. Isn't it amazing that we live, we serve, and we are willing to die for a God that we never seen? You know, one of the phrases that people have is that I have to see it to believe it. But God says you have to believe it before you see it. Amen? So we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We have to love him and live for him, and we have to live by faith and not by sight. And to walk by faith means to make it part of our everyday activity. You can't have faith just a little bit. You have to have faith each and every day. Now, walking, I used to say walking is nothing short of it's the average everyday thing. But as you get older, I know some people know what I'm talking about. But as you get older, sometimes walking becomes a little more difficult than it used to be. Amen? And then we realize that even walking is a remarkable thing. But walking is one of the everyday aspects of life. And when Paul wrote down walking, it indicates that walking is a journey. So in this life of faith that we're living, it is a journey that we're going through. And God wants us to walk by faith. Now, see, we are going to have faith in this world. But when we get to that other world, when we get to the other side of eternity, amen, it's not going to be by faith anymore. It's going to be by sight. It is our duty and it is our interest to walk by faith until we walk by sight. Amen? You see, faith is belief and the confidence of the testimony of another. Now, in the Bible, it says that a testimony is not a testament until the tester is dead. So that means that the person who wrote that testimony did what they did, and now they're dead. When you read the scriptures, these people walk, talk, live, breathe with Jesus Christ. So in their testament is their testimony, but they're all dead. When you see the word scripture, have you ever wondered what scripture really means? Of all the books that you read books all the times. You look at books all the times. But the books that you read, what are they? They are sentences. They are paragraphs. They are words. But the Bible is a book of scripture. These scriptures are anointed writings by the writer. A writer was anointed by God. When God anointed these writers to write the scripture, he didn't leave any interpretation to them. They wrote it under the inspiration of God breathing in them of what to write. That's why it is scripture and it's not sentences. Amen? You see, one of the problems that we have is that when we see that word faith, we don't understand it to mean this word trust. So when you walk by faith, you walk in trust. You walk by trust of what God said he's going to do for you. Amen? Now, another problem we have as humans is we have trust issues. Can somebody say amen? Somebody did somebody wrong. We got trust issues. Growing up, they told us to do this and that happened. We got trust issues. We believed that somebody was going to do something for us and they didn't do it. We got trust issues. Amen? But because we have trust issues, we end up having issues trusting God. Amen? But the life that we live as Christians, it goes against everything that we grow up thinking that's logical. We're not taught to think the way that God wants us to think. We're taught to think the way man wants us to think. Amen? And everything that God has written in his book goes against the grain of what we are supposed to do. How we are supposed to perceive things and how we're supposed to do things is foolishness to the world. Amen? But because it's foolishness to the world, it is part of God's promises to us that if we do what he says, if we follow his precepts instead of man's precepts, amen? You see, because man will write a law that he perceives to be true, and he lives by that law. And then you turn around and that law is not exactly true because it's not true for everybody. Can somebody say amen? But God's grace and God's mercy and what God says is true for everybody, regardless of any condition. Amen? Paul in Romans 4:20, on the promises that God gave to Abraham, he wrote it this way. Listen to the scripture. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. It says he didn't waver through unbelief. We waver with unbelief. Abraham did not untrust God. You know, we unfriend people on Facebook and all of these other places. We get rid of them because we don't trust them no more, right? Abraham never untrusted God. He never unfriended God. He never did none of those things. He believed in God. The Bible says he was strong in his faith, giving glory to God. When you are strong in your faith, no matter what it is that you go through, you still give glory to God. That's why the Bible says when you go through trials and tribulations, you count it all joy. Amen? Because the glory is for God. It's not for you. Some people want to have glory for what they go through. I don't want no glory for what I go through. I'd rather not go through nothing. You could keep that glory. But some people want to go through glory for what they go through. But when you do have to go through something, that glory still should be for God. Because it's because of God, you get through it. Amen? The Bible says about Abraham, but was strong in his faith. He was strengthened in his faith. Amen? And having been saved by this faith, he was able to accomplish what we can't even think of accomplishing even today. Amen? I don't know if some man 100-something years old getting ready to father a child. And I don't know if no woman right now 90-something years old getting ready to have a baby that's never had a baby before. I don't know of anyone like that right now. And if there was somebody, I don't know if they'd have faith enough that this is what God wants them to do at this stage of their life. Amen? Walking by faith in this life means we are to rely completely on what God has said in his word. When you walk in faith, that faith filters our thoughts. It filters your actions. It filters your attitudes. It filters your words. So what does that mean? That when you have unbelief, your thoughts will show your unbelief. Your actions will show your unbelief. Your attitudes will show your unbelief. And your words will tell your unbelief. Many Christians today are diverted from the path of living in faith because of the sights that they see, because of the signs that they see, by their senses, by their emotions, by their imaginations, by their feelings, by worldly philosophies, or by extra-biblical revelations. When I say extra-biblical revelations, revelations that are outside of what the Bible says are biblical revelations. Because the enemy can show you some things here in this earth, and you'll think it's biblical, but it's not. You have to know that the devil, the enemy, oh, he has power on this earth. He can do some things, but you have to distinguish, and you have to test every spirit and know, is this of God or is it not? Amen? When we look at the seas of life, and we look at the mountains and we see difficult circumstances rising up to block our path, do we live by faith, knowing that we can use those as stumbling blocks? We can use those as stepping stones. Which one are you going to do? When you live by faith, those are stepping stones. When you have unbelief, those are stumbling blocks. Amen? Faith allows us to change the circumstances of what's there. Amen? I take this Bible or this book and I put it here. What do you see? Somebody's going to see something on the floor. Another person's going to see there's a book. Another person's going to see, well, that's a Bible. Another person's going to see that's the Word of God. It depends on what you see. You see with your regular eyes, you just see a book or something laying there. But with your spiritual eyes, you're going to say, that's the Word of God. Amen? Your spiritual eyes dictate what you see spiritually. When we focus on situations that, and we focus on them through our own eyes, that's not kingdom living. We all know that every time we turn around, every time we look around, each and every day, our faith is going to be challenged. But when our faith is challenged, are we going to be like Daniel? Are we going to be like Daniel? Are we going to say that even though it looks this way, but my God will deliver me. But if not, do you still have faith to believe that the best outcome that God wants for you is going to happen? Amen? Sometimes the challenge will come in the form of a temptation. Your faith will be challenged by temptation. The enemy knows exactly where to target you. Some of us got to be hit below the belt, and some of us got to be knocked beside the head. But the enemy knows exactly where to hit you in your body to tempt you. Amen? He knows where we are at our weakness, and he knows exactly what is going to tempt us the most. Most of the times, we want to be accepted, and it's difficult to say no or do the right things. You know, have you ever said no when everybody else was going this way and you said, no, I'm not going to do that? All of the ridicule, all the persecution that you went through. And it's not just at that time, but it's an ongoing thing that people go up against you and talk about you behind your back all the time because you don't go with the crowd. But God has called you up for a different standard, that you got to live higher than what you see other people living. Amen? It's counter to the culture that we see right now. Amen? Everybody wants to do all of these things. Everybody wants to get on TikTok and do their little dance. But who's watching you on TikTok doing your little dance? Everybody wants to make a comment on Facebook. But who's watching and looking at you on Facebook making these comments? You don't even know who's looking at you. Even right now, as we're in this sanctuary, we don't even know who's listening out there. We don't even know who's looking at us right now. We don't even know what comments they're making right now. But we must always walk by faith and not by sight. Some of us need to turn our walk around. Because instead of walking by faith, we're walking away from faith. If you don't believe me, how many people have not come to church, have not been online, have not been on prayer meetings, have not talked to anybody since over a year ago? They have turned walking in faith to walking away from faith. Don't think it's unusual. But this is a sign of the times, because the Bible has already told us that people are going to walk away from the faith in the last days. In the Bible, it has been said that if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. So you walk by faith and not by sight. You begin to see the world through God's eyes, not through your own physical eyes. Because when you look through your natural eyes, you see problems. But when you look through spiritual eyes, you see solution. Because God is the solution. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. When the enemy comes knocking at your door, what do you do when the enemy comes knocking at your door? Sometimes the enemy comes knocking at your door. Have you ever had the enemy come knocking at your door? Come on. Have you ever had the enemy come knocking at your door? Can I get an amen? Let me tell you what to do when the enemy comes knocking at your door. Say, Jesus, it's for you. The enemy's knocking at your door. Let Jesus know. It's for you. This is something I don't know who's on the other side, but it must be for you. The Bible tells us to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand firm. The Ephesians also said, put on the full armor of God. So when the day of evil comes, that means that there's going to be a day of evil. In the day, in the light. You know, Jesus and God is light, but in the light, the devil in the light, in the day of light, the enemy is going to come. Be able to stand your ground. And after you do everything that you can do, stand. Peter says, but resist him. Be firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are also in the world. Don't think you are alone in what it is that you're going through. We are not unique. Amen? I talked to somebody not so long ago, and I heard them complaining and saying all of the things that they were going through. And in my mind, I said, my Lord, you just don't know. You just don't know. While you complaining, somebody else is just explaining, Lord, I understand. I understand. I thank you, Lord, for being able for you to pick me to go through this. I thank you for trusting me to be the example, the testimony that I can give to somebody else. I thank you, Lord, that somebody can look at me and see that they can go through it too, because I went through it. The Bible says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul wrote to the city of Philippi, and he said, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. If you got Christ in your life and you are walking in faith, you can't go around just complaining to everybody you see. You need to shut up and stand up. Amen? Can I say that again? When you're going through something, you can't go around complaining to each and every individual. You need to shut up and stand up. The Bible says, stand firm. And when you're not standing firm, kneel down on your knees to pray and ask God for the solution. The Bible says, be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. I'm going to change it. Be on alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like woman, be strong. If you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. First, we have to know what or whom we are standing for. You see, when you stand firm in your faith, you're not standing for yourself. You're representing the Most High. And you're not standing by yourself. He's standing there with you. As a matter of fact, you got a threesome behind you. You got the Father, you got the Son, and you got the Holy Spirit right there with you. That's a foursome. Amen? You're not by yourself. But what you have to do is you have to wait patiently for the Lord. He don't always come in the time that you want him to come. Amen? The Bible tells me that sometimes he don't come until he can get all of the glory. We have to know that he has to get all of the glory. When Lazarus was dead, or he was sick, I should say, and his sisters sent for, Mary and Martha sent for Jesus. Jesus took his time. And they said, well, why are you taking your time? He says, I'm taking my time so that they will know that God will get the glory. Amen? What you're going through right now, maybe you're sick and tired of it, but when you get through it, God is going to get the glory because you didn't do it all by yourself. There's no doctors, there's no medicine, but there's God who's got you through it. When God reached down and saved me, he took me out of the pit and put me on the rock. When Jesus saved you, he took you out of the pit and put you on the rock. That rock that he placed you on is a firm place to stand. That rock is not moving. It's not wavering. But you can stand on the rock and wave, but that rock is not moving. That rock is Jesus Christ. His word. The Bible says, in the beginning was the word. Hallelujah. If you look in Genesis, in the beginning, the word was there in the beginning. In Genesis, Jesus Christ is the word. And the word was with God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was there before, in the beginning, during, and after. He's still alive today. Amen. He is not somebody shifting in the shadows. Jesus Christ is still at the right hand of the Father, advocating for me and for you. Don't you know there's two things that you have? You have an adversary and you have somebody on the right hand of God pleading for you right now. Amen? You have an advocate. I couldn't come up with the word. So you have an advocate. Help me, Jesus. Advocate. Hallelujah. They're so close together. Hallelujah. But the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You got to know who it is that you serve, who it is that you have your faith in. You can't waver between faith and doubt. You have to know who you believe and why you believe him. Do you know why you believe Jesus Christ? Do you know why you believe him? Is there a reason to believe him? He's not one that would lie. When Jesus came down and he was talking to the people and they was doubting him, and he says, listen, I'm going to speak in parables so those who understand will believe, because you don't believe the words that I speak to you. So I'm going to speak in parables. And when he's speaking parables, those who understand believe, and they understood. And those who don't, they didn't understand. Sometimes the things that we talk and we say, we speak in parables, and the people of the world don't understand. But when you know what you know, and you know Christ, those are not parables, but those are words of promises. Those are words that keep us. Those are words that say why we do what we do, when we do, and how we do it. Amen? We have to know what we believe, why we believe, so that when challenges come, because challenges are going to come, you have to be firm in your faith. So I ask you this morning, why did you decide to follow Jesus? Why did you choose to serve him? What is it that you believe about his word that make you want to be his child, one of his disciples? I ask you that because the Bible says Elijah, when the people were wavering and they didn't know which way they wanted to go, he said to the people, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Either we have to have a life of faith and understand that everything that we see, that we can't see it the way that other people see it, but have faith that our Creator, our God, Jesus Christ, is going to work things out for us. We got to have that faith. And if you don't have that faith, then you don't need to say that you follow Christ. How long will you waver between two opinions? How long will you waver to have faith and don't have faith? How long will you waver between the two opinions? Either you for one and you against the other. There's the two opinions. Either there's a right and there's a wrong. There's no maybe. There's no in between. There's no place that you're going to go when you die that you have a chance to make up your mind either yes or no. There's no in between. It's two opinions. It's two kingdoms. It's a kingdom of light. It's a kingdom of darkness. There's heaven. There's hell. How long will you waver between two opinions? If you know that God is good and God is good, there's no question. Don't let the devil make you think that he has something better for you, because that's a lie. If the devil tells you he has something better for you, it's a lie. It's a lie. You need to say, devil, get behind me. Only God and God and he alone knows what's best for us. You don't even know what's best for you. That's why you don't have, you know, have you ever been somewhere and you had too many choices and you didn't know what choice to do? You had too many choices. Am I going to get this? You're going to buy, I'm not going to pick on the ladies, I'm going to pick on the men. You're going to buy a suit and you don't know what color you want to get the suit in. So you don't want it, you want the black one or the blue one or the gray one or the orange one. And you're just going between which color to pick. We can't make up our mind. But God made it real simple for us. It's only two decisions. Either you're for him or you're against him. You can't be right here. Either you for him or you against him. Today, either you for him or you against him. You wavering between two opinions, but either you are or you aren't. But let me give you a little clue right now. While you are wavering and you aren't, you aren't. Because there's when you say yes to the Lord, it's yes to the Lord. But after that yes, between the maybe and the no, there's more people between the maybe and the no. There's more room between the maybe and the no than the yes. And between the maybe and the no, there's so many people losing their life between the maybe and the no. And I'm saying that because I've never, ever seen in my lifetime so many people so young that are losing their life. That are losing their life. That are leaving this world and losing their life between maybe and no. Because a lot of times when you're young, you say no because you think that you have so much life to live. But the Bible tells me that no one knows the day nor the time nor the hour nor the second, not the moment. So when you're between maybe and no, there's a big gap there. I have to say that because my wife and I, we counted between not even a month. Between a month, 13 people that we know of, including family members, gone. Some I could say they were in the yes category. Some is in the maybe category. And there was some in the no category. Amen? That I know that they would know. But 13. So out of the 13, I can only vouch for three in the yes. The definitely yes category. The other 10 is between maybe and no. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of souls. The Bible says narrow is the gate. Narrow is the path that those that want to follow Christ is. But the other door, the other road is wide. Amen? 10 out of 13, it was wide. I don't know. And I'm not judging nobody. I'm just telling you like it is. Amen? While we sitting around and we trying to make a decision whether we're going to trust God, whether we're going to walk in faith, I advocate to you, trust God and stand firm. Because no matter what you go through, God is going to deliver you out of them all. The Bible says whatever it is that you go through, that he has a plan of escape for you. He has a plan of escape. If you don't have money, he has a plan of escape for you. If you don't have a place to live and you trust God and you have faith in him and you're his child, he has a plan of escape for you. You can't see it, but he has a plan for you. When you're in a place of doubt and confusion, stand firm in your faith because he has a plan for you. He has a plan of escape for you. If you're struggling in trials and tribulations, God has a plan of escape for you. If you're going through temptations, God has a plan of escape for you. God has a plan that will set you free. God has a plan if you just let him, if you open your arms and receive him in your heart, he has a plan of escape. If you just lift him up and say, God, I trust you. I have faith in you. He has a plan of escape for you. He will make a way for you when there's no way that you can see. We walk by faith and not by sight. What are you looking at this morning? God says, trust me, I will make a way for you. I have a plan of escape for you. If you have an illness this morning, trust God, have faith in God. He has a plan of escape for you. You can't see it. You don't know when it's going to happen, but trust him. Don't take your time doing it. Some of us are planning for other things, but let me tell you something. Just trust God because God's timing is better than your planning. You want to make God laugh? Start planning some stuff. He has a way of escape for you. The Bible says, trust the Lord with all your heart, your mind. Your soul, he wants it all. He has a plan for you. He has a plan of escape for you. Amen? Walk by faith and not by sight. How many of us are walking by faith this morning? Let us stand this morning.